Meanwhile, Brexiternity rumbles on with yesterday's planned House of Commons showdown turning into another damp squib as MPs voted, yet again, for delay rather than decision. The upshot is that Boris Johnson has asked Brussels for another Brexit extension, despite his previously expressed preference for being dead in a ditch rather than doing so. In a moment, we'll be examining what it means and what is the way forward. First, here's a flavour of yesterday's developments.
The eyes to the right, 322. The nose to the left, 306.
The eyes to the right, 322. The nose to the left, 306. So the eyes have it. The eyes have it. Unlock. So cynical. So you're a tough
guy, like you're really rough guy. Just can't get enough. I will not negotiate a delay with the EU, and neither does the law compel me to do so. I'm the bad guy. Duh. The meaningful vote has been voided of meaning.
I welcome today's vote. It's an emphatic decision by this House that has declined to back the Prime Minister's deal today and clearly voted to stop a no-deal crash out from the European Union.
Billie Eilish there helping out with the sound of yesterday's debate in the House of Commons. Carol Coleman is in London for us and has been gathering reaction to the latest developments. Carol.
Yes, David, I'm outside Parliament, and of course it had been expected that Britain might be starting to heal its deep divisions today. Super Saturday, that first such sitting in 37 years, was of course designed to move Brexit on to the transition phase, not to mention giving MPs the rest of their weekend back. But now, of course, they're gearing up for what might happen here tomorrow and the next day, and the problem remains that they all still want different things. I spoke first to the head of the ERG, Steve Baker. The ERG, of course, has been one of the loudest voices against the backstop and the biggest supporters of the DUP. So Steve Baker was urging his group of 28 to vote for this new and better deal, then have a general election. But now they don't know when they're going to get that chance. The reason, Baker told me, is because Remainers are playing games.
The Remain side in Parliament shifted the goalposts. So they put in place this unconstitutional Benn Act, the so-called Surrender Act, to try and make sure that Boris had to either get a deal or go for an extension. Well, now he's got a deal, they don't want him to fulfil the conditions of the Act, so they've shifted the goalposts by amending the motion to deny him approval for the deal, with me so far. That forces him to write the letter without having the approval for the deal. But now they're telling me they're going to vote for the deal and we're going to leave with the deal on time. But it's a mess. What's happening is the Remain side's panicking and shifting the goalposts.
You were a key supporter of the DUP. Haven't you thrown them under the bus, as everyone says?
No, absolutely not. And Sammy joined us at the ERG and he was very warmly welcomed into the room when he stood up and when he sat down. But the reality is now, I represent people in Wickham. I'm very concerned for the union, but my constituents want us to move on. And when I look at the relationship proposed for Ireland that's been negotiated, it respects the Good Friday Agreement. It is in the interest of the people of Ireland to maintain that seamless border, and it also allows Ireland, Northern Ireland, to participate in the UK's free trade agreements. So I think it's a tolerable place to be while we get alternative arrangements sorted out, which the political declaration makes provision for, and then the whole UK can have a very normal set of arrangements and we can still have a seamless border with the Republic. So I'm looking forward to an era where we deliver on that future relationship, that we all stop worrying about so many things, people continue with the common travel area in Ireland, continue to have goods moving without any infrastructure on the border, and actually we all start wondering what the fuss was about as we go forward as friends and in peace and trading.
Is part of the problem that not enough people had actually read the text of the withdrawal deal, those 500 pages, and now that they're delving into it, they're starting to pick holes in it? And was there always the danger that that would happen?
I don't think that's the case. I mean, those of us who in the European Research Group, I'm afraid we do our research, and that includes reading things. And we have articulated the flaws in the previous withdrawal agreement over and over again. The only thing that's changed in it, it might be some technical changes, tiny ones, I think a couple of them. But the only thing that's really changed is the backstop. But what that does is unlock a future that we want. And that's what's really changed. The future that we want is actually the one the European Union offered us, of a free trade agreement, defence, security, cooperation, research, innovation, education, culture. It's a broad and deep partnership. It's a great one. It's consistent with being an independent country. And we'd like to have it. The tragedy of all this is we were offered that deal by President Tusk in March last year. And we've had to go through all this misery and anxiety, including for the people on both sides of the border in Ireland, in order to get where we are. So I look forward to delivering. I'd like us to deliver this deal, get out, have a general election, restore constitutional normality in the UK, and deliver a deal that works for everybody in Europe, including in the Republic of Ireland.
And just once again, just take me through how all this is going to happen procedurally.
So what I hope will happen is this week we'll legislate. We'll introduce the legislation, I should think, on Monday. The government will introduce it on Monday. We'll debate it properly on Tuesday. That's the way the procedure works. And finish the stages in the course of the week. And if Parliament's willing to process that legislation with the alacrity it applied to the Unconstitutional Benn Act, then we will get it done. But of course, if the House of Lords messes the whole thing up, as they're wont to do, then we'll be in a pickle. But I just think now it's time to get Brexit done, not only for the sake of the people in the UK, but for the sake of people in Ireland too, who I feel sure in many cases are worried sick about what it all means. I want to put their minds at ease by getting this deal done and moving on.
I heard you saying 4 years of this over there. 4 years is enough.
Well, yeah, I mean, so I fell into chairing something called Conservatives for Britain in 2015. The reason for that was... Oh dear. The reason I got into that was because I've never really had any fallings out with any other Eurosceptics. So I have spent 4 years organising my colleagues in this cause. All I really want is peace and prosperity for all of Europe and the world, of course. And that means delivering this deal and getting on as friends.
Steve Baker there talking to Carol Coleman. And Carol, he wasn't the only Tory you were talking to last night.
Well, of course, there are numerous wings to the Conservative Party now, and all of them saying that they want to bring this saga to an end for the British and the Irish people. But even now, they're seeing different pathways, and a referendum could still be on the cards if certain things were to happen in certain ways. I'm told it's a fairly remote chance, but this week, Labour is saying it plans to seek an amendment to the withdrawal deal bill, which would see them back it if the people got a second vote on it. Of course, Boris Johnson would prefer that would not happen. I spoke to Dominic Grieve, one of those Conservatives thrown out by Boris Johnson, who is working flat out for a second referendum, and also to Tobias Elwood MP. He's a former Defence Secretary who says it would be just too divisive at this time.
It is frustrating, and my worry is, as somebody who's passionate about a strong relationship with Europe and indeed Ireland, is that we've opened up a bit more space for things to happen. And we know things do happen with so many agendas at play here.
We're in the danger zone now, as you say, but is part of this not because people wanted a better look at the withdrawal deal and perhaps don't believe that it's a closer relationship that's been sought?
Well, the relationship, don't forget, is part two of the actual negotiations. This is all about the transition. This is about what happens up to the end of 2020. We need to get through that door before we can then establish what our trading relationship, what our working relationship is with the EU and indeed, most importantly, Ireland, our closest trading partner.
What was the mood in there like after that vote?
It was really frustrating for many. I mean, what you see is dusted off old speeches, united by what they don't want, but not clear about where what they do want. Even here, we're surrounded by people calling for a second referendum. Now, I grew up in Europe. I'm a European as much as the next person, but I also understand I'm a Democrat, and you have to ask what is the path of least resistance. You take a second referendum, and let's say the vote was 52-48 the other way. Does that allow our nation, which has been so divided, so paralysed by this, to move forward? It won't. It'll just elongate the problem. It's not nice to say this, but Barnier summed it up. This generation has made its determination. The best thing that I can do, people like me, is to make sure that there's a strong bond that exists, that continues to exist, and we don't fall out. And it'll be for next generation to then reconsider. The premise is determined. I mean, we need to make sure that he keeps focused on wanting to secure that deal and not be knocked off course by other stakeholders, other groups, including, dare I say it, from my own party, that perhaps would like a particular different outcome.
Dominic Grieve, I heard you saying that you were very fearful that the withdrawal deal would end up in the breakup of the union.
If, as a country, you carry out an act which disregards the interests of minority but nevertheless important components, be it Northern Ireland or Scotland, and you try to carry it through against the wishes of the majority in those places, you're going to endanger the union of the United Kingdom. We can see it in the context of Scotland, where there is a settled view against Brexit, and whilst it may not happen immediately, I think that it will fuel separatism. And you can see it in Northern Ireland, where what had been a reasonable balance of opinion on Northern Ireland's status and the advantages of the Good Friday Agreement, and things had been very tranquil from the point of view of wanting a status change, are now endangered. And indeed, you can also see, I think, yesterday, the response within sections of the loyalist community to the feeling that they were being betrayed. Now, all this is dangerous stuff, particularly in the Northern Ireland context. And it would be very much better if we can find some way of resolving this without the Prime Minister's deal. This is going to be disastrous, I think, in the Northern Ireland context, and hence the DUP's reaction.
So you would not have actually voted for the deal?
I'm very unhappy with this deal. I think it's a disaster, and I think it will become more clear how disastrous it is in two ways. One, for the consequences for the Union of the UK. And secondly, because I happen to be very pessimistic that in view of the way the government's approaching this, they'll ever be able to negotiate a free trade agreement. All that we are in fact doing is getting a 14-month respite before we get to another cliff edge.
Is no deal actually off the table now?
It's off the table at the moment, and I really, unless the EU decides to chuck us out, and the attempt by Boris Johnson to keep this as a sort of threat to try and get his deal through has been comprehensively trashed. I do my very best with this Prime Minister. He's the leader of my party, or the party which I've been semi-expelled. But the way he behaves, which is quite beyond the issue of the policy difference, means that trust is completely eroded and nobody trusts him. So it's a very bad situation he has got himself into, and I don't think he's going to find it easy to get himself out of it. He gave lots of assurances at the dispatch box in the most, you know, sort of open, jovial way, but if you actually looked and listened to them, some of them were mutually incompatible.
You are a Remainer. Is there a pathway, to use the phrase, to remain?
Yes, there is a pathway if the public of the United Kingdom want to change their opinion from 2016. But for that, we have to have a referendum. I still happen to believe that it is by far the best way out, and that if we continue trying to push ourselves out through parliamentary means, we'll just get more and more divided, and I don't think it's going to solve the problem.
Dominic Grieve, MP, there talking to Carol Coleman.